Rabbi Malcolm Herman, Friday 28th of May, Tesvov 7, Insights into Parshas Bahalo Yisro.
I think I have a chumash in front of you, but we're going to look at the sugya, which is the sugya of Eldad and Medad. Towards the end of the sedra is an extremely packed sedra with much that could be spoken about, but I thought we'd focus on something which is towards the end of the sedra, and very intriguing, both in the Chumash and in the Gemara, what exactly happened with Eldad and Medad. So we really land in the Sedra in the middle of a crisis for Klal Yisrael. A crisis for Klal Yisrael that Klal Yisrael are complaining about the menu in a double way. Number one, they're complaining about the mon. And number two, and it's obviously a related complaint, that they are bemoaning the fact that they don't have meat. And Saf Sof Hashem, Kiribo, we say possibly in Perigil Elef Pasuk Dalet, the Eruv Rav that had stimulated this latest rebellion, if you like. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in a moment of what appears to be almost desperation, turns around to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, I can't manage Klal Yisrael by myself. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him two things. Hashem says two things. Number one, in Perek Yudal of Hasuk Tes Zayin, V'yom Hashem HaMoshe, Es Foli Shivimish, gather together 70 people, Mizikne Yisrael, Ashe Yodata, that are known to you, I'm bringing them to the Olmeid. I'm going to create a Sanhedrin. I'm going to create a body that is there to support you. In fact, the Babel over there says that the purpose of this, by selecting from each particular tribe, was to spread a greater support for Moshe Rabbeinu throughout the Shvatim. If there was representation from all of the Shvatim within Klal Yisrael around Moshe Rabbeinu, then if an issue came up in the future about the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, or about a pesach that he issued, or about a communication from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then each tribe would have its representation, each tribe would be able to go back, each one of the Zakenim would be able to go back to their tribes and endorse the decision of Moshe Rabbeinu. Interestingly enough, the Babel also says that the level of Nevuah of these Zakenim was the equivalent of the Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu himself had experienced as a youth. His early levels of Nevuah. Sufficient enough to motivate these Zakenim to take Achrayas for Klal Yisrael. That's what it was. It was sufficient Nevuah for them to take Achrayas for Klal Yisrael and to share the burden of the old of Klal Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu. So what happens is, Hashem says, I'm going to descend Kaviyochol and speak with you there, and I'm going to increase or spread the ruach that is on you, v'samti aleihem. V'altzalti, says Rav Hirsch, is a lost tail, a shadow. They're going to be in your shadow. They're going to be an extension, if you like, of you. And then Hashem says, also tell Klal Yisrael about the arrival of Basa. Arrival of Basa. So what happens is that in Pasuk Chavdalet, Vayetzim Moshe Medaber La'om, as Divrei Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes and reports the word of Klal Yisrael to the people, Vayesav Shivimish Mizikni Am, Vayamed Osom Svivus Oyel. The 70 people gather around the Oyel Moed, ready for this transfer of Kedusha, this transfer of Nevuah. And then in Pasuk Chavav, Vayesharu Shnei Anoshim Amachane, and two people remain in the camp. Shema Echad Eldad, Vashema Shinim Medad. The elder and maiden remain in the camp. Batonach aleim aruach, and the spirit descends on them. Vehema b'kusuvim, and they are amongst those who are recorded. Vehema b'kusuvim, but lo yotzu ha'ole v'yisnabu b'machane. So they don't go out into the camp. They remain in the camp. They don't go out to Oel Moed, and they have a nevuah in the camp. And the Torah says, then vayaratanar Rashi says it's gerushim, and he says ein the elder and maiden v'yisnabu b'machane. And then the reaction of Yehoshua, who is there, is a very strong reaction. Mesharis Moshe b'Bukhurov. The Torah now tells us who Yeshua is. He was the assistant of Moshe from his youth, and he says, Adoni Moshe kala'im, incarcerate them, imprison them. And Moshe Ben's reaction, far from being in harmony with Yeshua, says, no, on the contrary, what's the problem here? Hamakana atali. Are you jealous on my behalf? Are you zealous on my behalf? What's the problem? Halavai, that everyone will become Levian. That is the psukim in which we are familiar. Let's have a very brief look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And I want to focus on four questions on this psukim. Trap questions. Number one, the question is, who were Eldad and Medad? By the way, of course, they're the only ones who are named. Amongst all of those who received Nevuah at this time, the 70 Zakenim are not named at all, and they are named. Number two, what was the process of selection? What was the process of election, which Rashi on Chumash partially highlights? Number three, what does it mean that they remained in the camp? What does it mean they remained in the camp? And number four, the reaction and counteraction of Yeshua as Moshe Rabbeinu. Very, very different. Yeshua seems to suggest they should be put away, they should be sidelined. And on the contrary, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, halavai that everyone would be this way. So, as I say, really, the Gemara itself in Sanhedrin talks us through most of the sugya. So I'd like to share with you some extracts from the Gemara with some elaboration from various Mefarshim. Gemara says as follows, in extract number one. Some say the first opinion of the Gemara is that they remained in the Kalpi. What does that mean? Because if we understand the process of selection, what happens as follows. When Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, gather me 70 elders, Omar Yisrael, Omar Moshe, Ketzad Aseh, how am I going to do this? There's a basic mathematical problem over here. We have 12 tribes, and you're asking me to choose 70 elders. If I choose 6 from each tribe, Nimsun Shnai Miserim, you're going to have 2 excess. 12 times 6 is 72. Evra Chamisha Chamisha, if I choose 5 from each tribe, Mikol Sheva Sheva, Nimsa Asara Chaserim, you're going to have 2 less. You're going to have 10 less. You're going to have 60. 12 times 5 is 60. Evra Shisha Mishavet Zer, the Chamisha Mishavet Zer. So I'll choose 6 from one tribe, from most tribes, and 5 from just 2 tribes. How many Masil Kinnah ben Ashvatim? This is going to cause resentment amongst tribes that have been deselected. And you see that the election process has always been a complicated process. Ma'asa, what did he do? Biro Shisha ben Shisha, he chose 6 from each tribe. So Hevi Shivim Ushnaim Piskin, Sokin. And he brought 72 lots. Al Shivim Kosav Zokan for Shniach Niach Chola. So on 70 of the lots he wrote the word Zokan, and on 2 he left blank. Kolol on the Nos on the Kilpi, place them in some kind of box. Amalehem, Bot from Piskechem, come forward and take your lots. Kol Mi Sha'olav Yod Zokan, those who had selected the lot on which the word elder was inscribed, Amar Kvar Kicheich Shamayim, Kichucha Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected you, Mi Sha'olav Yod Chola, Amar Hamakom Le Chofetz Bukha, Ani Ma'asanach. Quite a blunt rejection. Hashem has not chosen you, and what can I do? Hashem hasn't chosen you. This was a divinely ordained process. So the first chat in the Gemara is, everyone agrees that Eldon and Medon did not leave the camp. The first chat in the Gemara over here, as Rashi explains, is that actually they did not come forward to take their petek. There were 72 petekim that were placed in the box, and they did not come forward to take theirs. Their fear was, says Rashi, that they would be rejected, they would draw a blank, and they didn't want to be in that position, and therefore they didn't come forward. In fact, Rashi learns that they were not destined to draw a blank. They were actually destined to draw one with the word Zakaman. But they didn't. They didn't come forward for it. So therefore, if you like, they stepped aside from the process, and therefore they abstained, and the other 70 were chosen.
Why was that?
Were it 70, 68?
No, no.
They weren't chosen.
No, because 72 people came forward. No, there were 72. 72 were placed in the box with 2 blanks. 72 were placed in the box. 72 people were supposed to come forward and each take theirs. Eldon and Medon elected not to come forward, and in fact Rashi knows, and everybody learns that way, that had they come forward, they would have drawn one with a term Zokanam, but they didn't. So therefore, there were 2 who took that actually had blanks on, that then were elevated to Sanhedrin, by virtue of default. By default.
So you didn't say any chavos.
No, that was what was supposed to have happened. That was the process as was supposed to have happened. In fact, the Ben Yehoyada over here, as does the Maharshah, discusses that maybe there. So the first chap, Vayashiru means they remained in the Kalpi. That their lot remained in the Kalpi. That's what it means. It's true they didn't come forward from the camp, but what it means is they were within the 72, as the Arachayim puts it, they were within the 72, but they remained, as it were, left over from the 72. So theirs was an unclaimed lottery ticket from within the 72. Ben Yehoyada asks, as does the Maharshah and others, very interesting, that there could have been an easier process over here. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu simply give each of the 12 tribes a lottery, which says, basically, and some would say 6 and some would say 5? So put 12 pieces of paper in the box, and each Nasi of the Sheva would come forward and pick. And if your tribe had 6, you would then choose 6 from your tribe. And if your tribe had five, then what could you do? Then you would choose five. A simpler process. Of course, so he says that would be problematic because that would imply that some of the tribes are more inferior than others. That would imply that some of the tribes are more inferior than others. That those that had come forward and only chosen five, that with the rest of Klal Yisrael might have denigrated that tribe, as though that tribe somehow or other was inferior. Therefore, it was much better to choose 72 people, each of whom were roi for Sanhedrin. So no tribe was designated as inferior in any respect. Each of those 72 people came forward, and then the process was a process about each of the 72.
Did the tribes submit six people?
Right, well, the Torah itself implies that Kosh Baruch Hu says to the tribe that you choose from each tribe, six people. Exactly how that process works is not clear. It looks as though the tribes themselves presented forward their best to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu endorsed their selection. But
with this process, there would have been the possibility that one tribe would have only had four people. The two men would have been allotted to the same tribe.
Because, no, 1 second. Good point, you're right. No, you're right. Well, the process was a process, Minashamayim, because of course, we can see it was Minashamayim, because it could have been, if you put 72 lots in, no, I'm sorry, 1 second, you're right, the whole process must have been, there was Minashamayim such that no tribe lost more than one member, if you like, in terms of that. But actually, the quite a few of the Mefarshim, including Magorot Yom, brings that it could be that if you would be the last of the two to come forward, you might have argued this was unfair. There were no other ones left for you to, and you drew the if the last two had drawn the blanks, not the first two had drawn the blanks, so again you might have argued with the process and said, well, there was nothing left for us to pick. Had we come further forward in the process, then there might have been. So the Magen Avraham brings several Mefarshim, including the Yerushalmi, that says actually they put in 74 in the Kalpi, 72 of which said on it, Zakein, and two of which said blank. So no one could argue, listen, when I came forward, there was nothing else left to pick. There was no winning tickets left to pick.
And they could all pick.
They could have all picked, and that's why Minashamayim it was. Minashamayim, that's why the, it says over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz Bacha. Hashem doesn't want you. The selection ultimately was a divine selection. He actually even brings another chat over there, from the Radvaz, that they actually put 72 with the word Zakein on, and 72 blanks. And so no one can have any title whatsoever. And then no one can have any title whatsoever. If you picked up the Zakein, you were designated. If you picked up a blank, you couldn't say.
The more than two would become blank.
Except, but that's where this was Hashkacha process. That's when the process was Hashkacha process. The process was Hashkacha process. By the way, you can see over here, Agav, by the way, how careful one has to be in terms of a process that should be a process when it comes to designation for positions in the Klal Yisrael. It's a process that seems to be, gives everyone the opportunity of being designated.
The first
Chat Gemara, Rashi says the fear was, you look at Rashi for a second, Rashi simply says, in the first Chat Gemara, I will say, I've looked around quite extensively on this, it's not exactly clear what their fear was. Their fear was simply they might be rejected, they may not be chosen. They might have been chosen. That itself is enough of a fear to impede them from coming forward. But we'll see in the second chapter tomorrow.
I thought you had the same fear.
Okay, why they had that more than anybody else, I don't know. But let's have a look at the second chapter tomorrow first, and then the second chapter tomorrow articulates the fear more clearly. B'shimonayim, this is extract number 2. B'machane nishtaru. In essence, when it says Vayashiru, it meant they simply didn't come out of the camp at all. B'shash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, when Hashem says to Moshe, as for the Shivimish, Amru, they said, Elder Umeidad, Ein Anu Ru'in Osa Kudula. We are unworthy of this honor. They had a genuine sense of humility. And therefore they felt, there must be some mistake over here. We've been designated as potential appointees to the Sanhedrin. It doesn't make sense. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hol Umiyatzkem Atzvachem, since you have express humility, you've seen yourselves to be lonely, Hareni Mosiv Gadula Al Gadulaskem. I will extend your Gadula. Hosavlem, Shanaviim Kun Nisnava Upasku. The other Neviim had a short term momentary Navua. The Hain Nisnava Valo Pasku. And their Navua continued. The Gemara goes on to explain that the Lashonis Pesukim, Misnavim, is an expression of ongoing Nevuah. So the second Pesach, the Gemara expresses very clearly what their position was. They genuinely felt that they were not worthy of this. So they stayed behind. Their genuine humility kept them behind. They couldn't bring themselves to go forward. Genuine humility. I will say, and I'm happy for answers on a postcard, according to the first Pesach, the Gemara, it's not quite so clear what exactly their issue was, and particularly as well, why their issue was rewarded. Of course, in the second Pshat, we understand why their issue was rewarded, because they expressed a humility. According to the first Pshat, it's not so clear why the issue, why their response was rewarded. But obviously, there must be something meritorious in that as well. These are a chaim, which I haven't fully unravelled, that seems to suggest in Izen al-Pidrush, that maybe they felt embarrassed at their possible deselection. A sense that somehow or other, they felt that they weren't worthy, but not in a sense of humility, but they felt embarrassed about themselves, that they hadn't achieved that particular level. And if I understand it correctly, that seems to be part of the first pshat. And therefore they were rewarded for the fact that they felt embarrassed in their own lack of ability to be selected. But I'm not 100% sure in terms of the first pshat. Now the Gemara asks, what nevuah did they prophesy? So Gemara says one of three options, which Imam Ashar explains is all linked to the Lashonis of Machaneh, Vayishir b'Machaneh. One of three options, either the one which is most well known, Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnis, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die and you're going to take him to the land, or they will summarize now because time is short. They prophesied about the Slav, that the Slav are about to arrive, so it was almost impending event that they prophesied. Or it was a futuristic prophecy. A pasuk from Yechezkel, they prophesied about the war of Gog and Magog. Because pasuk in Yechezkel implies that this was a nevuah that was said simultaneously by two Nevi'im. Which is the nevuah that was said simultaneously by two Nevi'im? This was Gog and Magog. This was Eldon and Medod. In fact, the Gemara now asks, we now got three options in terms of what the nevuah was. Either the nevuah was Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnis, or the nevuah was about the Slav, or the nevuah was about Gog and Magog. So now the Gemara says, hang on a second, we've now got to test the reaction of Yeshua and Moshe Rabbeinu against each of these potential nevuahs. If their nevuah was about Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnis, we can understand the indignation of Yeshua. He felt on behalf of his Rebbe that something terrible was being said over here. But if the nevuah was simply informational, if you like, but it was about the Slav, or it was about Gog and Magog. So what was the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu? What was the reaction of Yeshua? Why did Yeshua say that they, in fact, had done something wrong? Why was his reaction so strong? So the Gemara says over there, because Tehavanei Katalmit Hamora Halacha Lifnei Rabbi. And over here, they were Nevi'im, and they were expressing a Nevuah in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, when particularly, as many Mepharshim say, when they themselves hadn't been part of this process. They stood aside. They hadn't been part of this process. In fact, the Mashal says, as does the Ramban, that was the indignation of Yehoshua. Because he was saying, hang on a second, those who were designated to be Nevi'im came into the Ohel Moed. And there was a designation which came via you to them. But here, it's clear that they are either Morah Halachim Tnei Rabbi, as Ramban says. Yeshua even suggested they were charlatans. This can't be a nevuah, because it hasn't come to the process that Hashem has designated for the transfer of nevuah.
Okay,
we'll see. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that nevuah was right. In fact, again, the Magalit Yom Rafaim Magulis asked a kasha over here, but one second. But Navi is not allowed to be Kovish's nevuah. Right? If you're given a genuine nevuah, not allowed to be Kovish's nevuah. So he says that the problem with this was not the fact that they expressed the nevuah, was the fact they didn't do it in the same way as they were supposed to have done. That was just where they expressed the nevuah. That was it. They didn't come to the Ohel Moed as they were supposed to have done, and that was the place where this transfer of nevuah was supposed to take place. So he says it wasn't the fact that they verbalized the nevuah that they had to do, they would have given a nevuah, but it was the place in which they verbalized the nevuah. Why didn't they then come forward when they felt the spirit of nevuah descending upon them? Why didn't they then come forward as everybody else did? So he brings a beautiful dig from the Pesukim over here. Because it says twice, it says, Vayeshur b'machne, Eldon and Medod, Misnabim b'manachne. They were in the camp. Because their nevuah was sensitive to Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't want to come forward. They didn't want to express the nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, because of the sensitivity of nevuah that they had been given. So if you like, what's it?
Why was angry with you, because all the nevuah is
Well, it's interesting because the Gemara's conclusion over here, we'll see with Yeshua, is not so clear on this particular occasion, at that moment, certainly from the Pashas of the Gemara. Because, so that essentially is the two Pshatim in terms of reaction of Yeshua. Either he reacted because of the nature of Nevuah, Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machmis, or reacted not because of the nature of Nevuah, because it was an Eder somehow or other, Mor Alochem Bifnei Rabbi, or it was inappropriate that they didn't come forward to Moshe Rabbeinu with the best Pshatim over there. But then the Shaila is, what about the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu? Reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm a kind of ass on thee. Why should you be jealous on my behalf? I mean, if, so the Gemara asks, if it was the latter two options of Nevuah, which didn't impede, didn't impact on Moshe Rabbeinu directly, we can understand that he took it calmly, he was neutral in reference to it. But if it was Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnis, the Gemara itself says, that surely that would have been something that would have disturbed Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, quite remarkably, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell him the full Nevuah. Didn't tell him the full Nevuah. And therefore only said Moshe Meis. Only said Moshe Meis. And that I saw in one of the, I can't remember who it was now, but I think it was Moshe Feinstein in the Prishon and Notera, that why wouldn't that have been offensive to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because we know that Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Shemayim and didn't die. So the fact Moshe Rabbeinu was going to live a normal life and die as a normal human being, that was not a potentially offensive Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the rest of it, Yeshua Machnis, says in Gemara itself, in fact, Yeshua did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu. So vice versa, it seems, at that moment, he wasn't party to that Nevuah. Now, so therefore, the Gemara says, that's why that explains the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then, what was the instruction of Yeshua and Moshe Klaim? So the Gemara says, not Kapashtas to Krav, the Gemara says, that it was, Omale hatel aleim tzorchi tzibur. Impose upon them tzorchi tzibur, vahein kalin me'aleihen, and they will literally disintegrate from themselves. Right? You want to get rid of somebody, then the easiest way is appoint them tzorchi, not so much power, but responsibility. Give them tzorchi tzibur, and then therefore that itself will finish them off. If anything else has until then it's all finish it off. You know, registers in terms of life insurance amongst dangerous professions. Tzorchi tzibur. So as it says over here, that doesn't mean that they will pirish nevuason kala. It means their nevuah will be extinguished, if you like, or disintegrate. Why? The ein shchina shorah mitoch atzvus ela mitoch simcha. The shchina is only shorah mitoch simcha. That the possibility of divine communication requires a certain serenity, a certain simcha. And if you give a person tzorchi tzibur, then unfortunately that might damage their serenity and give them atzvus. Therefore, says Tosfos, that was the issue in terms of over here. For interestingly enough, the ksav sofer. First of all, I'm sorry, the Kleir Yachar. Kleir Yachar is a very beautiful idea, isn't it? That the word Hamakana Atali, Hamakana. So he says the word Kino, of course, has two connotations. Either it means Kanoz, as in zealous, or it means Kino, as in jealous. And the Kleir Yachar over here learns in terms of zealous. He says that's why the Torah emphasizes over here the Meshoris Moshe Mimachurov. He says, in certain respect, Yeshua was being zealous on behalf of his. He was being a kanoi, as he says, the Kleiyaka says, a young kanoi on behalf of his Rebbe. Rebbe, what's going on over here? That's the emphasis on his youthfulness at this point in time. A young kanoi. He says, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Chamo, and Yeshua is referred to as the Levona. Because the Levona was jealous and miserable about the potential possibility of power sharing. Hence, the different reactions of Moshe Rabbeinu reflective of the metaphors that describe them. Interestingly, of course, as an aside, there are several words, as we know in Hebrew, any word which has the same two-letter root is related. And the words kino and kana in terms of jealousy and zealousness. And ken, which is a nest, and liknot kana, which is to acquire, are all related words. Because they all refer to exclusive possession. They all refer to exclusive possession. What is a nest? A nest is where the bird creates exclusive possession. What is to be jealous? Well, this is mine to the exclusion of yours. What is to be zealous? To be zealous is that only my view is right, and your view doesn't come into question at all. Interesting, of course, as Mephoshim said, that Cain, who was jealous of his brother, the same words, he believed that he was the owner of all that there was. Over here, the Mashah says, Hamakana Atali. The Mashah and the Barbanel possibly reflect on this. Hamakana Atali, if I've understood him correctly, it says the word Atah could either be the subject or the object over here. Hamakana Atali is a Pashtus. Are you zealous on my behalf? Which is, you're sure you are acting with zealousness on my behalf, you are defensive on my position. But it also can mean, that says the Mashah, that you are my Talmud. Hamakana Atali. do you cause jealousy for me? Am I jealous of you? Where atal then becomes the object. Are you a cause of jealousy of me? Are you a cause of jealousy for me? No, you're not, because a Rav is never jealous of his Talmud. And therefore over here, just as I am not jealous of you, so therefore I'm not jealous of anybody else who has Nevuah. And the Pesukim are beautifully Maduik over here. Because at first the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu transferred Nevuah from Moshe Rabbeinu to the others. But Moshe Rabbeinu's actual expression is this, Umi yiten kol ha'am Hashem Nevi'im, ki yiten Hashem es Ruch Aleim. Not only do I not mind if they become Nevi'im, but I don't mind if it's not via me either. It can be directly from Hashem. Doesn't matter if it's not via me. That's the emphasis. In contrast, you, Yeshua, are feeling indignant because you're challenging their Nevuah because it didn't come as a derivative through me, as came with the Shivim as a Canaan. But I don't even mind they become Nevi'im. Noch mehr, I don't mind if they become Nevi'im directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, me attain Hashem, ki attain, me attain kolam Hashem Nevi'im, ki attain Hashem Ezruchoi Aleihem. Now, the Kli Yakar over here explains the conclusion of the Gemara in terms of Hatalem Tzarchi Tzibur. He says as follows, not the Kliyakar, I'm sorry, the Ksav Sefer. Ksav Sefer says as follows, the really, Yeshua was worried that Klal Yisrael would not see a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Eldad and Medad, particularly by virtue of the fact that they will not become a Nevi'im as a derivative of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was his concern. A genuine concern that this would be confusing for Klal Yisrael, who now was the real Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael. And his solution was as follows. It's okay to be a Navi, yes, it's a great thing to be a Navi, but to be a Navi and to have Tzarech Yitzibur, to be able to retain your Madrega, when you've also got Tzarech Yitzibur, and also your mind is diverted to the worries and the needs and the Tzarechim of Klal Yisrael, that's a completely different thing. So he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's important that you demonstrate to Klal Yisrael your supremacy, simply in terms of the preservation of Masorah and Klal Yisrael. Therefore, give them Tzarech Yitzibur, and then we'll see if they can still retain their Nevuah. That's the point. Give them Tzarech Yitzibur, then we'll see if they can still retain their Nevuah. And that will demonstrate to Klal Yisrael that, well, yes, they are Nevi'im, but you still retain a supremacy in terms of that. Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction is, no, it would be magnificent if all of Klal Yisrael became Nevi'im. And Ksav Sefer has two angles to this. First of all, the first angle, that I don't mind if they become Nevi'im, however they become Nevi'im. But secondly, says the Ksav Sefer, this would, if everyone became Nevi'im, then that would make it easier for me, Moshe Rabbeinu, to achieve even higher Madregas, because Klal and Yisrael will be self-sufficient in terms of their ability to look after themselves spiritually. And that would be good for everybody. So within, it wasn't just a kind of, I don't mind. It was almost a kind of halavai. Halavai that will become Nevi'im for me as well. And that way, it would be it would allow me to steig further than I can even at this moment in time. Just like a kind of conclusion with one. It's very interesting that straight after this, the Torah describes that in the episode of Miriam, Ish Moshe Olav Ma'od. Right here, the Torah describes which is within the episode of Miriam. And it follows through in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu having been so generous to Klal Yisrael. As I once heard said, you know, the difference between a good leader and a great leader is that a good leader creates followers. Very nice. But a great leader creates leaders. He wants everybody to become a leader. There's no resentment if others overtake you in the process. That's what it is. You want the very best. That's the real sense of another. It's not about me. Not about the leader. It's about the emphasis on the people. In fact, the Balaturim says over here, Moshe Tanuach Nafsho began Elohim Yeshua Machnis. Moshe Tanuach Nafsho began Elohim Yeshua Machnis. That's beautiful in terms of that. But I'd just like to finish perhaps with one episode which I heard firsthand, I think says so much about what it was to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. But I remember when the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal of Manchester Rosh Yeshiva was Nifta, so I heard at the Shloshim a story related by Rabbi Brandeis of the Yeshiva there. He says on one occasion the Rosh Yeshiva, there was a visiting Magid Shir, was asked to give a Shir in the Yeshiva. I don't remember who the Rosh Yeshiva was, but if I was to close, he was asked to give a Shir in the Yeshiva, it was somebody of Chashivas. And in the middle of the Shir, Rabbi Brandeis was sitting next to the Rosh Yeshiva and having Lachaim Lachaim. And Rosh Hashiva asked the Kasha to Rabbi Brandeis, said, what he's saying contradicts the Tosfos, whatever the Tosfos was. Rabbi Brandeis concurred that he contradicted the Tosfos, and they weren't sure how he was going to develop it. A few minutes later, the Magashir says, initially, aye, but what about the Tosfos in Shabbos? So Randa says, you know, what would any of us have done? I speak to myself. You turn round and say, oh, that was my kasher, that was my kasher. He says, the Rosh Hashiva didn't even acknowledge that was his kasher at all. Didn't acknowledge that was his kasher at all. And he didn't turn around to my Randa and say, oh, maybe that's the kasher at all. Because it wasn't about him at all. It wasn't about him. It was about the emes. It was about the emes, which went through and through, that even that kind of would have, most people would have been an instinctive reaction, was under such control, because ultimately it wasn't about him, it was about the emes, that he was able to, it didn't make any difference to him. It was his kasher. It was about, just about what the emes is. So here in terms of what we see from Eldon and Medos, is Nishnah the analysis of Eldon and Medos, but exactly in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, Anav Mikolon.